Hi. Hello.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Danielle Tame, and you are listening to Actors Group Conversations on Craft. Enjoy. Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Robin Christian McNair and Kate Udall. In this week's episode, we talked about the difference between accents and dialects, my favorite. We talked about the importance of bringing authenticity to an accent, and we talked about the politics of speech. So enjoy this week's episode of Actors Group Conversations on Craft.
I become a more sensitive, easily disturbed actor, which I think makes for a good actor, is that you can easily get moved about by impulse.
Right.
And text and images.
Mm-hmm. But without any training, it's very difficult.
And then another thing that's quite interesting, and this speaks to dialect sometimes, which
good,
is
because that's
we're
the next
really,
thing.
We're so good at this.
Yeah. You don't need
we're
me.
We're so, we
do,
are really, really, really identified with the sound of our voices.
Yes.
And oftentimes when people start to release their voice or change their voice, there's a feeling like, oh, that's not me.
Right.
That's not
but
my
it
voice.
Really is.
So this
it
question
really
of,
is.
Yeah, we're very, and you know, clearly, with how we how the sounds that we make, how we mm-hmm. pronounce a word, that has a strong sense of identity. But even the sound or the feeling of our voice or the sound of our feeling of our body. It's like, let's say you're tall and you have never sort of gotten comfortable with being tall. If you suddenly sort of go, oh, here's
Which,
the full
for
length
the listeners,
of me.
Kate is very tall.
I am very tall. it's sort of a sense of like, oh, that's not me. So changing how you use yourself can be challenging because it can feel like it's not you.
You change your self-image. You
yeah.
literally are changing
yeah.
the image of yourself.
Yeah.
It can be simple things. Sometimes when you change the head-neck relationship, I don't need to talk about it right now, but it becomes very important for a free, open voice. The student will be like, I feel like I'm looking down my nose at everyone.
Mm,
but truthfully,
right.
they just have good alignment for maybe the first time since they were
yeah.
very young,
yeah.
that they're not just kind of jamming in the back of the neck, the cervical spine, and jamming their, you know, vocal folds together.
Yeah.
And for me, speaking directly to the dialect thing,
mm-hmm.
As Robin knows, it's not that I'm trying to change the way that I speak, but if, you know, I've been told that I might book more roles
right.
if I could have that standard.
An American accent?
Right. And for me, I've been doing accents, like just, you know, at home with my family, just being silly.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, I can do them. I have such a hard time with the standard American. And I don't think it's so much that I have a problem, and you can, you know, speak to this because we've had classes, but it's not so much that I can't do it. But I have that feeling that...
You feel like you're a fraud?
Yes.
You're not authentic. You lose your sense of
right.
authenticity.
And then I think people will think that I'm making fun because that's happened before, too. It's like when I've asked for a glass of water,
mm-hmm.
three times to the waitress I had to say a glass of water. She's the one who asked me what I wanted to drink.
Right.
It's like, what could I possibly be asking for? You know, and it's like...
And do you have to go water?
I did. I had to look at her and say, water. And she looked at me and got and was very offended, and I felt like saying,
"I can imagine." Right.
Well,
I'm gonna
segue. I've got a couple of thoughts about this, about the person with an accent and the person listening to an accent.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all,
it may have been the eye roll that I.
It may have been the eye roll. Yeah.
that I had
and that's the other thing. That's
the,
but the, isn't that great? That's point
on.
Of view.
Yeah.
There's your point of view about. So,
yeah.
when we don't, when a person is not familiar with an accent that is different, let's say they just have never been around a British person. They've
mm-hmm.
never listened to NPR. There are some accents we just don't hear as much as others.
Right.
It takes the listener a while. I don't really ever think it's the speaker
right.
as much as it is the listener.
And I agree.
And
mm-hmm.
that's a dance that you have to play
right.
with each other. If I'm not familiar with a certain accent and someone's speaking English and let's say it's a what I'm going to call a heavy accent. In other words, it's, you know, there's a lot of sound changes.
It's
lot
very
of,
different from yours.
Very different from mine. And I'm just not familiar with
right.
it. I haven't heard it that I'll have to say what a lot. And I find that the speaker usually apologizes. And I always say, no, no, no. It's actually the listener. I am
mm-hmm.
not used to hearing these sounds. It's just going to take me a little while.
Yeah.
So that is part of accent, is actually listening, listening. And I think when you begin to kind of own this other accent that you're doing, your American accent, is when there's a couple things that need to happen. Freedom of breath.
Right.
And really, really playing your actions and your scene. And that does that comes later after doing a bunch of work at home. These are the sound changes. This is the music of the accent.
Right.
I also really believe in getting the sound in your body through different exercises. Mm-hmm. And that could be a simple thing, just dropping down my spine, making some sound, doing the sounds of the accent. There's all sorts of tricks. But then it ultimately has to come back to, am I really doing in the scene, going back to your acting and saying, to heck with what Robin told me. These are the rules. I'm not going to listen to myself. I'm going to pay Robin to listen to me. She can make the give me coaching. Ultimately, it comes down to not listening to yourself, but you have to do a ton of front loading of homework before that can happen. And then you have to say, to heck with it. Hire someone to listen to you for a little bit, or a friend, just a friend. Say, will you listen to me so I don't have to?
Right.
That's when the process becomes organic, because you cannot act and listen to yourself.
Right.
It will be bad. What do you think, Kate?
Yeah, no, I...
what else?
It also kind of speaks interestingly to the transgressive nature of acting. And again, this question of how identified we are with sound, because there are certain dialects that I could take on that are just changing the sounds in my mouth, but they carry a lot of weight. And I would sort of feel like, oh, I am not allowed to make these sounds. So it's an interesting, you know, it starts to kind of blur into all kinds of questions of identity and sound and speech and how strongly
and cultural appropriation. Things,
and how strongly we, without even really knowing it, how strongly we feel about the identity of some of our sounds.
Right, the politics of speech.
The politics of speech are huge.
Yeah, you know.
And like, very interesting and very provocative.
I am from Texas. But Texans, we have a lot of pride in where we're from. And I get really offended when people say that, you know, Southern accents, you sound stupid. I mean, Charlie Rose, really? He's from North Carolina. I mean, I know he's a little controversial or maybe very controversial right now, but he's a really, really smart guy and great interviews with the North Carolinian accent. Holly Hunter, who I love. She has an accent and a speech impediment. This lateral S thing.
Yeah.
Hasn't hurt her career. So I'm really offended when we do this, when we make fun of people.
Yeah.
Because that is their cultural... That is their culture. That is their history. Mm-hmm. That is their identity. That is their DNA.
Yeah. And it's fascinating which dialects have status and which dialects don't, which dialects we think are attractive and which dialects we... You know, everyone has opinions and stereotypes about other people's sounds.
That's
worldwide. And it's
your culture.
It's human. You know, it's very... You know,
you're judged the minute you open your mouth.
Yeah.
So it's your culture.
I find that fascinating. You know, that just the way we shape... It's just literally the way we're changing our lips, our tongue, just physically an issue of I'm physically changing things.
Mm-hmm.
And it carries huge weight. And for the actor, sometimes that can be a question of, do I have the right to sound this way?
Right.
Do I, what does it mean if I sound this way?
Right.
There's a lot of stuff.
And
in
just
that.
And just for the listener, if you don't know, accents are not just sound changes. That's 50% of it, the actual speech sound changes. In other words, in Texas, we call P-E-N a pin, right? So that would be a sound change. But the other half of accents is what you're doing with your voice. What are you doing with the resonance, right? What are you doing with the rhythm? The rhythm
change. Robin,
can
you give an example of that?
See, I loved it when you talked about the musicality of
the
it.
Music,
you know, it's
well
yeah.
I'm from Texas, so I've had a ton of voice work, and I find that voice work has changed my accent more than any speech teacher. Now, I did grow up in a time where you had to speak a certain way in my training. I do not train my students that way. I say, if you want to change your accent, we're going to call it just doing an accent. You don't. You're the way you.
The
speak.
old term is losing an accent.
Yeah, accent
or modifying
reduction.
Your accent.
Yeah, I
and that's sort of fallen out of favor.
Yeah, thank God.
Okay, so
thank
good.
God.
So we don't. We won't say.
Yeah.
That.
No. So Texas accent.
Because it kind of implies that there's some neutral, and it's like there is no neutral.
There is
a power. There is one. A group in power has said this is neutral. But it was rich white
people. Those were the group in power.
Yeah.
And it came from the British World Empire.
Yeah.
Sorry, Daniela.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
Yeah, at least in our culture.
World.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the rhythm, the resonance, the pitch can change. So my family, a lot of them from East Texas, so the rhythm becomes a little bit choppier than what you're hearing Kate and I talk, and it's nasal. So I'm changing my resonance to nasal like that, right? And you hear how it gets a little bit choppier. So it's not just sound changes. And also I'm maybe not using quite as much pitch as I do in my speaking voice. So that would be like how you change your voice. So you're not just saying, you know, I'm not just doing the sound changes. I'm also have to change the music of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, and I found that too when I was film that I, the independent that I just did. I think the other thing too that's fascinating is we talk about the Southern accent, the Irish accent, the British accent.
Yeah.
There are just so many different accents.
And it's kind of cool. There's a term called an idiolect, which means it's that I actually have a dialect that is unique to mm-hmm. me. That's just my own Kate's dialect.
Mm-hmm.
And so any kind, I don't know, we'll see what Robin has to say about this because she teaches dialect much more than I do. But when I teach, I sort of say any dialect, mm-hmm. Unless you're going really deeply into it, is a bit of a generality.
Yeah.
You know, if you have an enormous amount of time and an enormous
RP
amount of money.
Is probably the only one that there hasn't been a lot of wiggle room on it until mm-hmm. recently.
But it's a general, you know, we're giving a flavor of it.
And that's essentially that's what I was, you know, when you said which Irish accent, and I was like, well, number one, I think I said the easiest one.
Then, which is a perfect choice.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it is, you know, you are, we are acting, you know, it's on stage, we're making choices, or on film, we are making artistic choices about things. So it's not real life.
No,
we're
making
artistic choices.
One of the big projects we do in the accent class at UNCSA is we do something called the Donor Project, where they have to go out and find a living, breathing human being with an accent as different from theirs as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already learned how to do their IPA, the International Phonetic Alphabet, how to transcribe. They know how to listen to the lilt of the accent, which mm-hmm. is the resonance, the rhythm, the volume, the pitch, and they have to break it down. But what we're looking at is these accents are a living, breathing human being. They are not a sheet of paper I'm handing you.
And that, I think, for me is, sorry to interrupt, for me it's kind of like, I want to do the accent justice. I don't want to make it a caricature because, like you say, it's a living, breathing human. Every person has their own. Like, there isn't anybody who sounds like me. Not exactly like me.
That's right.
Yeah. I have, you know, especially because I've lived here for 20 years. So it's, you know, it's sort of.
You have a North Carolinian British accent.
With a little bit of
some actor training.
California infused because I was out there for a little bit, but. So it's, you know, and my mother is French. So, you know, it's a whole bunch.
And you know, and at the same time, though, I often sort of tell my students, it's like, okay, what's the project? You're figuring out, what am I doing? What does it need to tell the story? So what does it need to tell the story?
Right,
you know. And I can argue if you can find the music of the accent, you can be forgiven of sound changes.
I love that. I love,
you know,
yeah.
We can forgive a lot
if
you can find the music.
Yeah.
And if you can really talk,
mm-hmm.
don't listen to yourself.
And I think too, some accents are more musical than others, or you might respond more. I mean, that mm-hmm. might not be fair to say, but you know, like different songs you really respond to. Like some people love jazz and some people love swing and some people, you know, do you respond more to certain accents? And are those the ones that you can do? You know, are you...
Well, that's a great question. Yes. I will say the accents initially that you can do are the ones that you've heard the most.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are going to be the easiest. Mm-hmm. There are people that are blessed with remarkable ears.
Right.
I am a taskmaster. I know how to technically work. I have a good ear because I've developed it. Mm-hmm. I was born with an okay ear. Mm-hmm. But there are people that are just hear things.
It's unbelievable what they can
and
hear.
And they can just do it. Well, bully for them. That's fantastic. The rest of us mere mortals... We'll have to listen a lot more.
Right.
And that's what I do. I listen, I listen, I listen,
right.
I listen, I listen, I listen.
And you get better. I mean, I've gotten...
But you have to be bad first.
Yeah, and I have, you know, I am a very ordinary ear.
You know, have to be willing to be bad, and you can't be afraid. I really question my whole entire career choice when I'm first learning an accent that I don't know well, like South African Afrikaans. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know any Afrikaans people. I can't, and I'm throwing my notebook across the living room and going, why did I ever want to be an accent teacher? But then I get one sound and I go, oh my gosh. And then I get another. So you have to be willing to be bad.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. As an actor. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah.
Which is really the.
Again, it goes back. Right. Yeah, there's no. The rules for voice are the same rules.
Right.
The mottos, it's the aphorisms. Right. There's nothing that you say in a voice.
Are you breathing?
Class.
Are you listening?
Are you present?
Are you present? Are you really responding?
Are you
truthfully?
Are you are you receiving?
Right.
Yeah.
Truthfully under imaginary circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
So for for those the rest of us, the mere mortals as you called us.
Yeah.
Because I think I have a pretty good ear.
Yeah, you do.
What I don't have is the confidence, and we've talked about that, to just go out there and do it incorrectly.
Improvise it. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. Can you just begin to speak to people and just go, I do a lot of things like walk my dogs and talk to them in
that's
an accent.
That's what I've been doing.
Just to save the embarrassment.
Yeah.
Right.
When I'm like, I know I'm going to be so bad and I'm an accent teacher, I should be good at this.
Right.
And then hopefully I'll have a colleague, like I work with this just lovely, generous teacher, Anne Louise, at school, who I'm like, can I just speak to you in the accent and can you just forgive me?
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, absolutely. And she and I will just try to bust it out.
Technically, and we've been throwing around accent and dialect, the terms interchangeably.
Oh, great. Yeah, thank you.
Technically, for a linguist, a dialect includes grammar. Mm-hmm. It can include special word usage as well as
how you're putting language together.
And technically what we're teaching more or less is accents.
Right.
But the word is used interchangeably all the time.
It is. Accent would really be the speech and voice changes, not how you're actually using language.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's we use them interchangeably
because
it's very difficult to separate the two.
Yeah.
Because if you are doing it
authentically, the writer is writing the dialect.
Right.
Yeah.
The actor is using the accent.
That's a good way to.
Now, if you're doing a devised piece like we did last year in Still Life with the Rocket, the Appalachian, I was the accent teacher, but I brought in like 200 Appalachian words that they use in their dialect.
Oh, nice.
Like a bag is a poke,
right.
P-O-K-E. So like, how can we throw some of this dialect into the accent?
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
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 And if you don't have somebody that you can go to,
sure.
What would be something that they could do? Like I know, like I said, I walk my dog and I actually record myself.
Well, I've got a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Go on YouTube, I would not choose a random speaker. I would choose someone that is real. So a pop star, a politician, make sure they're a real, because there's a lot of
it's
people
called,
going,
the term is a native speaker.
Thank you. A native speaker. Make sure you know that you can find them, that this is an actual native speaker. Thanks, Kate. The other thing, you could go to the International Dialects of English Archive. It is a free site with accents from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Now, occasionally their speakers are actors who have had a lot of training, so I don't find their accents to be very heavy. I find I like, when I'm learning an accent, I want the native speaker to have a really heavy accent. I can lighten it up, but it's very hard to make it heavier if I don't know what that means. But International Dialect of English Archive is a free website, and sometimes it even breaks down the accent for you. They read similar passages and then tell a little story about themselves. And you can learn a lot from that.
I also just in the real world as a complete kind of, I'm an actor, I have like 2 days to do this. There are several people who sell some really good, very excellent breakdowns of a dialect. And they'll tell you what the sounds are. They'll give you samples, sort of $20, $30. Jim Johnson is really good. And then
he's out of U of H, I think. University of Houston.
No, I think Iowa.
Iowa.
Or maybe California. I can't remember, but he's excellent. And then there's a, who's the triple-barreled English woman?
Oh, Plesha.
Plesha.
I love Plesha.
Jillian Plesha.
She is the best.
Jillian Lane Plesha.
Because she has actual donors. And what I mean by donors.
And so does Jim Johnson.
Real living, breathing speakers of the accent.
So you can buy some really good, if you're trained, you can do it on your own. Sometimes it's like, I can't be bothered with this.
Yeah.
Here, I'm buying this.
Yeah, just tell me how to do it.
And just tell me how, and they'll just tell you how to do it. And they're really good. And it's a great way to start, you know. And Paul Meyer also.
You really need to have some training.
Right.
Yeah. It's profoundly helpful if you just have a
Just have
ground.
Some basic training. But we're trainers. We're educators. Right. I am. I mean, Kate's primarily an actress.
I mean,
we are. And you know, I mean, I am a teacher and a professional accent and voice coach.
Mm-hmm. So what is something that you see actors doing that they should not be doing?
In a play, in class,
in life,
that's a whole
oh
other
you mean
podcast.
Habits like smoking or stuff like
anything really. I mean, is there something that, you know, like if you had one piece of advice on it, I mean, it was probably for you, which is what you've just said, is go to class.
I think training is so valuable, because If nothing else, it's going to just add to your confidence when I walk in, of being present, of standing, of how to be in a room with people, how to listen, how to really talk, how to really respond. I am more interested in them speaking the truth than having a pretty voice.
Right.
I want to hear you.
Not your voice.
Not your voice.
That's a little motto in the voice world.
Through your voice, right?
Right. And I think acting is all about that. There's always a part of you that should be present.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
that includes the voice.
And it, even with accents, you can find yourself, your self-expression through the sound changes that are you authentically expressing what you need to express.
Right.
You know, so I guess for me, just leave off the judgment as much as you can.
Leave off the judgment.
You are perfect the way you are with your voice, really.
Well, and I think if you do get, you know, wrapped up in, okay, I need to change my voice. I don't like my voice. People have said my voice this. People have said
this. I hate that. Well, the shaming is
big. There's a lot of shaming, which isn't
There's
very
lots of
useful.
Shaming.
Right.
Not
and I think then you lose the ability to be authentically you within any character that you're playing.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, shame is a great destroyer of talent. Yeah.
Kate,
that was good, right?
Brilliant.
Well, now it's going to be here for all eternity.
Yeah. That is brilliant.
Well, this was fabulous. Fabulous,
yes,
fabulous.
Thank you
very much.
You're
for
very
coming.
Welcome.
This was great.
That's it for today's edition of Actors Group Conversations on Craft. This is your host, Danielle Tame, and I really hope that you enjoyed today's conversation. Feel free to rate the podcast on iTunes. You can leave a review, or you can leave me a comment or a question on the Actors Group Conversations on Craft Facebook page. Until next time.